Yeah, definitely. DeMarcus's leadership just goes such a long way. Everything that he taught me the past couple of years, all the opportunities that I had to learn stuff from him and, you know, see things from a first ballot Hall of Famer's perspective, I mean, that's a huge blessing. And not a lot of guys get to come into the league and have guys like that that are also willing to teach like DeMarcus. So it's very bittersweet for me. His presence in the locker room as a mentor and as a big brother, it's hard to replace that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, this is kind of how the business goes, this is how life goes, and, you know, it's time for me to step up and handle my business and take everything that he taught me and apply it to the field.
What is the key to doing that? Because you made a huge jump, it looked like, in a lot of ways, off the field training from rookie year to last year. What is the key to then being that impact, consistent player in the starting role?
It's knowing yourself. One of the first things I did this offseason, I did a self-scout of myself, and basically I just went back over all my film and saw what worked for me, what I did well, what I could have gotten better at. And that was just kind of, you know, point A for me. Like, okay, now I've identified what I can get better at as a player. What went great for me, you know, what I could have done better in coverage, you know, what I could have done better in the run game on this play. And I really just, you know, have been taking that and just going day by day with it, you know, working on maybe my footwork, my positioning, my technique, and continuing to do the things that helped me get my leap last year, helped me make that huge jump last year.
Last game before the season, you said your goal was double-digit sacks in the Pro Bowl. You came close on the sacks. Don't really know how close on the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. Same goal, different goal, more goals?
Bigger goals for me. I keep pressing the goals for me. When you sit in a room with two All-Pros and, you know, two potential Hall of Famers, it's hard to say that, you know, that mentality and that idea doesn't rub off on you. So when I'm in there with Von and I see what he's able to do and knowing what I'm capable of doing, I want to be an All-Pro player. That's something that I aspire for every day. And I feel like every big goal that I make, I've made smaller goals that can attain that for me. And one goal that I said, you know, I went back to how I was thinking in college. And I said in college, my junior year, one guy, you know, I could average a sack a game. Nobody can honestly stop me from getting one sack a game. And I look at that in the NFL and I feel the same way. Can't nobody block me for a whole game. So one sack a game for me is equivalent to if we course 16 games, 16 sacks, that could lead the league. Not to mention playoffs, any of that stuff. So that's how I break stuff down for me. And that's what I'm going to do.
Mottos Coach BJ brought in. What does that mean to you as a player and for the season?
Being honest with yourself as a player, one of the things that we talked about as a team was, you know, guys accepting coaching, being truthful with, you know, what you do as a player because your film doesn't lie. And we made it to where now the whole team gets to see, you know, if you make a mistake or if you loaf at practice. So truth is really just being honest that you're giving your teammates your effort and your work ethic every day. And, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. You know, every day that I go out, I feel like at practice I should have 3 sacks. That's expected of me. I should be doing this in coverage. I should have this amount of tackles. This is what I should do every day. And if you're not doing, you know, what you say you're going to do or what your teammates view you as, then you're not putting the truth in. You're not really playing to the level that everybody sees you. So it's just expectations.
What do you think of DeMarcus Walker? That's a second-round pick. Have you talked to him
much? No, I haven't talked to him, but I definitely watched him. He made a lot of noise at Florida State. Definitely rushing the passer, definitely coming from that right side. And I like that he's versatile, able to move around because I like to rush inside too. So see somebody who has that talent is pretty nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. I know he's a stronger kid. To see what he can do in the run game, and eventually, hopefully, we can get him on third downs. That's be a blessing to help have some pressure on the inside and keep some guys off of Vine and me. It's cool.
What about on practice going up against Garrett Bowles, as you'll be lining up against him quite a bit? You looking forward to going up against the first rounder?
I mean, it doesn't really bother me none. It's football. He should be ready. He should come here with the mentality that, you know, we're going to work. I don't care if he was a 7th rounder. He's going to get the same work that he would have got, period. And I just hope he's ready. We got big expectations for him.
Between Walker, Zach Kerr, Domantas Peckel, how do you expect those guys to help you out on the edge?
I mean, those guys are hogs. Those are big dudes. First and foremost, you know, our run game was one of the categories that we lacked in last year, coming off of the Super Bowl year. So we're looking at DeMata and Zach and those guys to really plug up that run game, to really make a huge difference there. And they also possess great pass rush ability. Those guys can push the pocket. And a lot of times quarterbacks last year, they were just sitting at 3 yards. So really either an edge rusher or a bull rush really wasn't going to get you there. So it's tough to rush from the edges to have that happen. But with those guys, we can create a constant pressure in the pocket just to free me and Vaughn up so we can do our things on the outside.
Your draft now 2 years ago. Has it 2 years gone fast? Does it that seem like a long time ago? How was you kind of just looking back on that now?
Yeah, I mean, my time is going by pretty fast here. Now that I look back on it, going into year three, it's a huge blessing. And, you know, I can see where – I remember when I first stepped in front of here in front of all of you and the feeling that I had. You know, it's something that I cherish, you know, just these opportunities. And now just gaining knowledge as a football player, loving my job, loving what I do, and continuing to work for my particular goals and my team goals as well. It's something that I've just really let, you know, just take over my life. Like, you know, I love this now. It's no distractions. Like, this is what I do. This is what I want to be great at. So it's a lot easier and clearer when you have that mindset. And it's taking some time to get there, but I'm good now.
Shane, people talk about you stepping in for DeMarcus Ware. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is you played, if I remember the numbers correctly, twice as many snaps as DeMarcus last year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you were a starter last year?
Without the title, I guess you could say that. I just viewed it as me and DeMarcus were just splitting reps. I didn't really look at it as I was a backup or, you know, he was a starter. I viewed it as whatever reps that I get in this game, I should play – these reps should be at this level. It should be at this high level of play, regardless on how many plays I'm in. And, of course, some games, you know, I wouldn't get as many reps as I wanted. Some games I would get more than maybe DeMarcus wanted. But at the same time, you know, it was about working with my teammate, and I just did what I was supposed to do. I said at the beginning of the year, when Vaughn or DeMarcus came out, I didn't want it to be a drop-off in play. That was my – that's what I wanted to do. When I came in the game – it wasn't a drop-off. I was going to the quarterback. I was making plays. You knew that I was on the field. And now it's just a more every-down thing. Now I expect to be making plays all the time. That's just me, man. My mentality, as far as how I like to play the game, there should never be a time where you shouldn't know I'm on the field, period.
As a Kansas City guy, Chiefs fan growing up, what do you think about Jamal Charles coming here?
Oh, man, I know they sick back home. Oh, they're sick. I mean – I can't tell you how many calls I've got. No, man, not Jamal Charles, man. You know, but for us, it's a great addition. You know, second to Priest Holmes, Jamal Charles is probably one of the greatest running backs in Chiefs history. So to acquire him and his playmaking ability just adds a completely different dynamic to our offense. I mean, the fact that now we can run downhill with guys like Leary and CJ, but also spread the field out, have Jamal Charles receive the ball out of the backfield or those stretch plays with his kind of speed, that opens everything up, and it's going to open things up for our receivers. So me personally, I'm so excited for our offense and what they can do now, because as a defense, we feel like, look, if you can score 14 points, we're going to win the game. And this offense is looking like it's going to do way more than that, and I can't wait. Especially because as a pass rusher, they're going to have to throw the ball if we're playing up.
And you remember talking about your second game in the NFL playing against him.
Yeah.
What do you remember?
Man, you know, just like I said, his presence spreading the field out is real. And I learned that as a rookie, you know. Like you were saying, you know, it was a zone replay. Alex Smith, Jamal Charles. I tried to cheat out because my responsibility was to cover Jamal to the flat. And that little hesitation I had of being out too wide, trying to make sure he didn't outrun me, he was able to cut the ball in and take it for a touchdown. And that just, it's a split second. It was just so fast, you know, and that's the kind of like playmaking ability that he has. That's why I'm so excited. I'm like, I don't got to worry about that anymore. I'm good, you know, so it's all great.
And with DeMarcus retiring, there's been a lot of talk about Vaughn potentially stepping into more of a leadership role. Have you seen him take some of that on and be a leader for that group?
You know, honestly, I always say that Vaughn's leadership really just – it kind of goes not unnoticed, but a lot of people just don't really talk about it, the things that he does. I mean, he's just as vocal with players and teammates as he is with, you know, media and everything else that he does. You know, I could say that his critiquing of me and Shaq and coaching us, I mean, DeMarcus was more so our mentor. Vaughn was like that tough big brother, like, okay, no, this is how you have to do it. Like, your feet look like this. Like, nah, you got to do it over again. Like, that's the kind of leader he is. He's upfront. He teaches guys. And I could say my eating habits and wanting to get a chef and get my body to a certain body fat percentage and all those things, that came from Vaughn because he did it on a whole nother level. I mean, 245 pounds, 250, 7% body fat, can bend like no other. I mean, I started trying to figure things out. Like, hey, Vaughn, how do I get my ankles more flexible? How do I do this? And he's always trying to help guys, like always trying to bring guys to extra workouts, always trying to talk to guys. That's him. Now, maybe it doesn't look like that from the outside in, but, I mean, that's what he does every day, man, and he never changes. That's his personality.
You talked about DeMarcus being a mentor. Do you feel obligated, even only in your three-year responsibility, to start passing on your knowledge and make sure that that's part of your role going forward?
I mean, for me, I don't mind teaching guys. I don't mind sharing the things that I was taught at all. I mean, I'm just naturally a person like that, and that if you need help, I'll help you out. But more than anything, I'm trying to really just establish my dominance as a player, really do what I feel like I was brought here to do. And it's been 2 long years of me learning and kind of going through that. But now I feel I'm free, man. Like, I feel like they done let the chains off. I can go do what I want to do and make plays. So if there's guys that want to come in and get knowledge, of course I'm going to be there. But it's time for me to do what I need to do, you know?
A few more for Shane.
Wade Phillips is in town for his book signing. You're trying to see your old coach before he goes?
Oh, man, I still got a lot of love for Coach Phillips. I probably won't be able to make his book signing, but I know he's not happy coming back to this snow from L.A.
Through your foundation, raise awareness, mm-hmm. shoes, and you got a football camp coming up. You see yourself becoming more of a leader in the community, and why now to do all those things?
Yeah, definitely. I always wanted to make an impact in the community just from my personal background. I told my mom if there was any opportunity that, you know, I could put my stamp on something and help out kids or help people in the community, that I wanted to do that. With that being said, it took 2 years to really get the planning out of everything as far as, you know, my name, my foundation, having it to the right corporation, all that stuff, you know, all the things that you got to figure out. It took a while, but now it's up and running. And, you know, Raise Awareness is getting a lot of exposure, you know, for what we did with, you know, Shane's Shoes, our impact with the ADA, with diabetes, and now being able to do my first camp on June 17th is big. And it's really organized. I got a lot of, believe it or not, I got a lot of Chiefs players that are in on it, you know, a lot of people trying to get some Broncos down. But it's gonna be a good cause, and eventually I can bring that here to Denver. You know, this is going to be my trial run at home, and then I'll be able to bring stuff out here more to Denver and just kind of continue to do things in the community, you know?
Garrett Bowles joins you in that first round quad. If you had the chance, what kind of advice would you give him about being a first round, handling that first year in the league?
The expectation is going to be there whether you like it or not. You're a first round pick, and some people are going to love you and some people are going to hate you. That's how it goes. But all you can do is honestly continue to work, keep your goals to your heart, and just strive to be great every day that you come to work. That's how it is, man. I told Paxton the same thing. They're going to love you. They're going to hate you. It depends on the day. It depends on what you do in the game. But what's most important is you continue to work. You keep your goals to yourself, and you just do what you're going to do. Do what you say you're going to do, and keep it simple like that.
Okay. Thank you, Shane.